Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 2. We're going to continue in that. We broke it open last week with verse 1, and we're going to continue on through that today. And I wrestled with God this week, and he won, obviously. We know the story, but I really thought he was taking me somewhere different this week, and so I prepared two sermons this week because he changed everything, and he's awesome like that. But I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But in the book of Joshua, you know, we began that study at the beginning of the year, and we see right away that God tells Joshua, listen, you're the man now, and you're the leader, and I need you to arise. I need you to come to attention. I need you to be the man that I've created you to be, and I need you to arise and to go. And I need you to take all these people that have been wandering around for years and years and years, and I need you to assemble them. I need you to get them all on the same page. I need you to make sure that everyone knows what's going on, and that there's no one left behind and no one that doesn't have a clue what's going on. And so Joshua used the officers, right, to go out and to spread the message. And that's exactly what God does with us, is he gives us his word and he says, now I need you to go and I need you to make sure that everybody's on the same page. I need you to make sure that everyone knows what's going on, okay, in the world today, but most of all, what's going on in my word today. And it's our job to be as those officers, to go out and to reach people, right? To reach people groups, to reach families, to reach individuals, to reach those that are sunken down into the depths of the darkness in a bar or wherever we may find them. And we need to be ready to make sure that, hey, man, you don't want to be left behind. God has the promised land right before you, right before us. It's right here. You've been waiting your whole entire life for this. And now it's time. And it's our job to deliver that message. And the officers did that. And then Joshua himself went to the 2.5 tribes and said, remember the deal that you made for your land, your early possession. And the time has come now for you to fulfill your end of the deal. And so they were on board. They're like, let's go. Wherever you tell us to go, we're going to go. And on top of that, if somebody tells me that they're not going to follow you or do as what you've commanded them to do, man, we'll take care of that business for you. And in verse 18 of chapter 1 says, and whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. God takes his word serious, right? And he takes his mission serious. And he doesn't want us to be as those that are asleep. He doesn't want us to be those that rebel against every idea that comes up and, well, there's a better way to do that, or that's not the way that I want it, or that's not the praise music that I really listen to, so I don't like that. I listened to a podcast this week that got me all fired up about that whole thing, and man, our job is not to worry about those things. Our job is to glorify God with our lives. Amen. And to reproduce. Amen. And let God sort all the other stuff out. We get all wrapped up in the other stuff and worry about telling people what they can and can't do or how they can do it and how they can't do it. And then we just miss out. So then last week, we began chapter 2, excuse me, and we looked at three words last week. And can somebody tell me what those three words that we looked at last week out of just verse 1? Right, in that order. Right? And there was a very specific reason that we looked at. Obviously, that's how it's laid out in the verse there. But it's obviously how God intends things to happen in our lives, right? Because we want to go where we want to go, right? We want to have a story, right? That went is the story of where we've been. But oftentimes we take the scent and just put it way back somewhere else because we're going to go. We're going to be the went ones. And God just so beautifully laid it out right there. In verse 1 it says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go. So they're charged to go what come from their authority above them, which sent them. So they were underneath the protection and then the authority, right, of who was sending them. Just as you and I, as the body of Christ, God is the one that is our authority. God is the one that directs our steps. God is the one that gives us instructions. He is the one that should be sending us, right? Not each and every one of us, not our own desires, but God, here am I, send me. It's that simple, right? I want to be sent, but until I'm sent, God, I'm right here. This is where I'm at. This is where you have me. This is where you told me to go. This is where you sent me. So at this moment, I will be right here doing what you told me to do until you send me. and then I'll go, and then I'll have a story. Then I'll have a story of where I went. Not a story of why I went there or why I wanted to go there, but a story of why you sent me there. The story, the testimony. We all have a testimony, y'all, right? We all have a testimony. And if you're saved today, you have a testimony of where you've been, okay? And if you're lost today, you have a testimony of where you're at. And God wants to deliver you from that. He wants you to have a new story. And the word went is last for that reason. So that we can have a story to tell where we were sent and how our obedience affected us and how it actually led us to where we are today. We have a story of where we've been. And we should all have a story of how God has been working in our lives, because if we don't, it's just us working in our lives. It's just us doing what we want to do. It's just us checking boxes and doing the things that please ourselves. And that's not what God intended for our lives. Our story should have nothing to do with our desires and our agenda, but what God desires in and through us. So the thing is, though, is that our story of where we went should also include those that we met along the way. Those that God placed in our path each day. The story should also include what we did when we met those along the way. And man, I'm so fired up because on Wednesday night, our youth group, we've kind of changed how we're doing things. And we're just dissecting passages as a group and really talking about what God is speaking to us through his word and what he's showing us by just simply being obedient to read it. And this week, man, I'm going to get way ahead of myself, but in this week we are in John chapter 15, and I love John chapter 15. Man, it's seriously my favorite chapter in the New Testament book, and it got me so fired up because we are to bear fruit. And we have these young folks, right? And we all come from different backgrounds, and we all have different places of where God has us right now, but we all have an opportunity to go and produce fruit, right? And go and see the fruit. But we first and foremost, what we talked about on Wednesday night, is we must first abide, okay? We must first be abiding in the vine. We must first be attached to God. We must first be a child of God before we can go and produce fruit, because if not, we're going to be producing fruit, but it's going to be nasty. And it's going to be like raisins, right? I don't like raisins. They're nasty. I'm sorry if you like them, but I think it's the most nasty fruit ever. It's shriveled up. It's like, well, that fruit is rotten. We don't want fruit like that. So Joshua sends these two dudes out. And he sends these two spies out to do what? To go spy secretly, right? And Joshua sent out the son of Nun sent out to Smittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho. Go check it out. Go see what's going on over there, because we're about to cross the Jordan River and the battle's about to begin. So we need you two to go and to spy secretly, right? To go do this special mission." And don't get caught, because we need you to come back and report to us. We need the mission to come full circle so that we know what we're going into. We're not going into it blind. And these two spies, their lives were changed. And this one harlot and her family's lives were changed because of an encounter. Because they were willing to abide in the vine. They were willing to be obedient, to be sent, and to actually put boots on the ground and to go where God told them to go, where Joshua told them to go. They were obedient. So we're going to see in verses 2 through 7 today, kind of what, this is a chapter that you could preach all the way through, but I don't roll like that. But we're going to see in verses 2 through 7 kind of what takes place. Kind of what takes place. And we're just going to break it down verse by verse. So let's read that together this morning. We'll just start in verse 1 again. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Okay, so we know that they're obedient. We know where they actually went. We know where they are residing. And in verse 2 it says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The word spread fast," right? Excuse me. "And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not where they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." Father God, we pray today, God, that you take this passage and Father, just God, it's alive. We don't need you to bring it to life. It's already alive. Your word is alive today. But God, we need you to get it into our heart. God, we need you to open us up. We need you to soften our hearts. We need you to tune our ears. We need you today. God, because without you, we can do nothing. And God, without you, we won't hear these words. They'll fall to the ground. Yeah, God, we know your word won't return void, but God, you want us to be hearers of your word also, and then to be doers. So God, I pray today that that's what we would be. You would find us being obedient today. You would find us not distracted by the affairs of this life and by the things that we have going on our calendars or the things that we need to get done today or whatever it might be. God, that stuff will be there, maybe. But God, you have us right here today, right at this time for a reason. So God, I pray this would be a profitable time. And Father, you'd be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 2, we know what's going on, okay? "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, the men came hither and tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The word had spread fast. The word had got back to the king. These guys had been busted, right? They obviously were not being... They weren't spying out secretly because they had got caught already. But they hadn't been caught. The word had just got out. Right? The word had spread. I titled this passage for a reason. I titled it Rahab the Liar. Because if you read this passage, you're going to think she's just a lying fool. Right? And I can't believe that God would justify her lie. I can't believe that God would put her in Hebrews chapter 11. When she lied. And I'm not here to justify Rahab's lie, but I'm here to tell you that right here in this book, right here in this chapter, was the only time you'll hear of it. Because any other time that you hear of Rahab, it's not about her lie. It's about her faith. Okay? So remember that. Don't go to God's word in the flesh. Because when we go to God's word in the flesh, I'm going to see this harlot was a liar, and she was no good. And though she may have been a do-gooder, well, she's discounted. But we don't see it like God sees it. Right. So it didn't take long for the word to get out that the spies were there, but the word had got back to the king. Like I said, the spies were to search out the country so that they could take a report back to Joshua and what was taking place in the land, right? Joshua needed to know so they could formulate the army in a way that they could go and we're going to see what happens because God's awesome and he gives us the whole story, but just not today. But you can go home and read it so you're ready. But the spies were so important to the mission. They played that critical role in the mission that was about to unfold. And without them going, they would be going in blind and have no clue. And so the word had got back to the king. And as I was studying this passage out, I thought about the first time I went to India. We preached the gospel hundreds of times in 14 days. I mean, literally, you would come back to your room exhausted from just sharing the truth so many times. But this one day, our leader, some of you have met him, but Doug Pearson, but he's like, we're going to go to this fishing village. We're going to go share the gospel with this fishing village. And they were of a different dialect, and they all speak just a little bit different language, and I'm like, cool, the ocean. So we get there, and our team's there. We each have a translator. We're just going home to home, just sharing the gospel, being received, the words being received. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, this dude comes flying up on this motorcycle. And it was the chief of the village. And he was honked off. And obviously, us white folks had no idea what he was saying because he's just, bah, 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 bah. But I could tell from his demeanor that he was not happy that we were there, right? The spies had infiltrated his fishing village. And the message that was being preached, he was not receiving. And he did not want his fishing village to receive it because he already knew what would happen. He knew that the message that we had was so powerful that it would change his fishing village. So he had called the authorities. He had called everyone that he could possibly call. And he was going to have us arrested. And here I am in India, thousands of miles away from my family, thinking, well, this isn't exactly the agenda that I thought we had on this trip. And I sure didn't think that we were going to go preach the gospel to other people in jail. So in my flesh, I'm thinking, we need to run. You know, let's go catch a rickshaw and get out of this place. But that's not what happened. We told him, okay, you know, whatever they said. They got him calmed down. And then Pastor Ganesh, some of you guys have met Pastor Ganesh. He's like, we'll just go around the corner. We'll just go around the corner where he can't see us and keep going. I'm like, you are crazy, right? You're crazy. You've been to prison here. We haven't. We don't want to find that out. But my point of that story is that it did not take long for the word to spread that we were there. Okay, obviously we're white folks and we stand out. But the point is that the chief heard that we were here and he wanted us out of there. He did not want us there. So he didn't send people to. He came himself. And just as the king of Jericho knew what the spies were doing, this chief of this village knew exactly what we were doing. He knew we were delivering the truth. He didn't want the truth there. He didn't want the captives to be set free. He had them under his thumb. He had them exactly how he wanted them, trained them exactly what they were to do. They were to focus on catching fish and making him money, and definitely didn't want them to be new creatures. So we kept going anyway. So we didn't end up in jail. So praise the Lord. But in verse 3, so the thing is that when you begin to speak the truth, when you begin, you go out on the street, you go to Walmart, you go to the gas station, you go to your neighbor, and you start sharing the truth, the word is going to spread, okay? And it might not be in the way that you want it to spread, like, oh my gosh, somebody is finally speaking the truth to this neighborhood. Hallelujah. Man, I desire that, right? But Jesus says, listen, it wasn't easy for me, it's not going to be easy for you, but don't stop. So just because the king of Jericho was mad that the spies were there and was searching them out because he wanted them annihilated, didn't stop the mission. Because so many people play a critical role in the mission. So the king sends some men to tell Rahab to bring forth the man that came unto her, and the word had obviously got back to him, and they'd been spotted by someone, okay? And it didn't take long for the king to receive that word. So the king sends those men to Rahab and says, Rahab, where are these dudes at? We know they're here. You need to just bring them to us. What's crazy is that they even knew what the mission was about. They knew why the men were there. They knew that they were come to search out the country. They knew that they weren't just some guys that crossed over the river and infiltrated the walls of Jericho and were just there. They knew that they weren't there to visit Rahab for what you visit Rahab for, okay? They knew that. They knew that these guys had come to spy out the land, and they don't want spies there, okay? Right now in the world that we live in today, there's spies spying out the land. They do it in different ways now because they can fly these awesome drones and all this, but they're spies spying out the land to see how they can overtake whatever they want to overtake. Here's the thing, though. These dudes were late to the party. If Rahab would have been caught housing these men, it would have been certain death for Rahab. But Rahab had already devised a plan, right? She was a quick thinker. She had already devised a way to hide these men. And these guys were late to the party. Because if you read in verse 4, the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus. She's like, I got a plan. They came to me, but I wist not where they were. They were here, but I don't know where they're at now. Right? So she admitted a little bit of truth. She's like, yes, they were here, but they're gone. Let me ask you a question this morning. And I already know the answer. But have you ever told a lie? And be careful how you answer because you're on the verge of doing it again, right? So we all know that we've probably all told a lie. Okay, so we need to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to see something. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. I want to see what God sees. So we know Rahab, and I'm going to get ahead of it. We know what Rahab was all about, okay? And I'll define, I found a definition in the Strong's this week that I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. But so we know what Rahab was all about. And we know that, you know, she was very colorful, and we'll just put it that way. And she also was a liar. But how does God see Rahab? In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 31, it says, by faith, not by a lie, but in verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not when she, with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab had to have faith in order to survive. Okay, because she knew that, man, they were going to cross the Jordan, they were going to overtake Jericho, and everyone was going to die. But by faith, she knew what was going to happen. Okay, she knew this. And in one other place in James chapter 2, verse 25, James 2:25 says this. It says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Again, no mention of her being a liar. Right? No mention of that. While we, as human beings, look on the outward appearance, look on the outward expressions, look on how people act, look on how people talk, look on what they do, look at all the things about them that we can see, I can't see inside of Kenny. I can't see his heart. Right? I can't see what God sees because I'm not God. And Kenny can be, man, he can be a righteous dude on the outside and he can play the guitar like nobody's business and sing and all of this stuff, but if his heart's jacked up, just like the rest. God looks on the inward. What God sees is Rahab's faith. God doesn't see, okay, God knows Rahab lied, okay? Obviously, because God knows everything. And God is not saying, okay, Rahab, it's okay. It's okay, Rahab. It says, by faith, the harlot. The word harlot means something, okay? So this is going to get a little bit, in today's society, PG-13, okay? But this is straight out of the Strong's Concordance. So most of us know what this word means, okay? We know that a harlot is like a prostitute. But I went to the Strong's to look it up, and it was crazy what I found. The word harlot in Hebrews 11:31 is a Greek word that is pronounced porne. Yeah, exactly. It's been going on for a long time, right? That stronghold has been going on for thousands of years, and it's no different than it is today. It means feminine of strumpet, figuratively an idolater, a harlot, or a whore. So now we have a better understanding, okay? Something that people struggle with in this world every single day, and it's been going on for thousands of years. Nothing has changed. So why do we find these spies coming into a known harlot's home? Right? You can speculate all you want, but the text does not tell us. It doesn't. It doesn't say why they picked Rahab's home. My speculation, right? It doesn't make any difference. But if you think about it logically, you would think, well, in a harlot's home, there's going to be a lot of traffic in and out, right? A lot of people in and out, right? It'd be like a drug house. A lot of people in and out. A lot of traffic. You could just kind of sneak in, sneak out kind of thing. Okay? Obviously, these spies were not great sneaking in and sneaking out because they had been caught. They had been seen. But maybe they picked the harlot's home because they're like, well, there's a lot of dudes going in there, so I think we could slip right in there. Hebrews 11:31, though, tells us that by faith. It was by faith. It was the faith that saved Rahab. Not her works of the flesh. Not her hiding these two dudes out. Not by putting them on her roof. Her faith saved her from certain death in the coming days. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should be prideful, not lest any man should brag. It tells us that she believed, and that there were some that didn't believe. And you know what happened to them? Well, we're going to see eventually, but they died. They died. And their end was not good. It tells us that she received the spies with peace. Not one time does it mention that she lied to hide the spies, but does that justify lying is the question today. Is it okay to lie once in a while if it's for a good thing? Right? Kids in here are like, heck yeah. Adults in here are like, heck yeah. No, it really isn't. It says that the Bible says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you can justify your lie or not. Some would say that this contradicts God's word. But think about it like this, okay? Think about it like this. If what we did before we were born again affected if we were to be able to be born again, would any of us be here today? Would any of us be here today? The answer is no. I don't care if you got saved when you were 3 years old before you even knew what was going on, okay? That's a whole nother story, but I'm just saying. We are all born into this world, into the devil's family, okay? And so if that affected us being able to be born again, none of us would be saved today. If what Rahab did here before she was saved today affected her to be able to be born again or not, if her lie, if her being a prostitute, if her lifestyle affected her, like, God, oh, nope, you're not qualified to be saved today, sorry, then we would all be in the same boat. If what we did before believing affected it, we would not be able to have a faith-filled life today. How would that affect you today? Rahab, you know, we know, colorful past, very colorful. She was a prostitute. Did that discount her, though? Did that discount her from being able to become a child of God? Should she not be in Hebrews chapter 11? Should she not be in the hall of faith because of what she did? The answer is no. The answer is no. Washed by the blood. It's all wiped away. Though this is an Old Testament passage, she still had to live and walk by faith. So she lied. She hid the men. And she told the ones that were looking, sorry, they're not here, they're left. In fact, you'd better hurry along because they just left. But right before the shutting of the gate, that you are so hot on their tails that if you leave now, you're probably going to catch them. So you'd better scurry along. No need to search here. They're not here. I just watched them run out the gate, and they're about to shut the gate. She's crafty. She thought this through a little bit. Or she could think of a story on the spot. In verse 5, it says, and it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. So again, she's like, listen, just go. You want to catch them? You're not going to catch them here. And verse 6 says, but. There was a but. But she had already hid them. She had already hid them under her piles of linen up on her rooftop. She had staged them away so she could answer the door and tell them the story, tell them the lie. Her story and her actions are what would save the spies' lives. So we can justify her lie, right? Here's the secret. It's not about the lie at all. This story is not about Rahab's lie. We want to think it is because she is, I mean, obviously she lied. She did not tell the truth. But she hid them, and then she lied about it. And you know what? In verse 7, the reason that she told the men that they needed to hurry because the spies had left right before the shutting of the gate, right, was to make them think that they were so close to catching them. Because you know what? As soon as those men went out chasing him, what happened? The gate shut. So they're like, man, she must have been telling us the truth. Because the gate just shut, so we must be right on their tail. Let's go. So they were completely focused on that and that alone. Because if not, they would have searched Rahab's home from top to bottom, flipped over her couch and bed, and went up on the roof and been like, Rahab, they're right here. Why are you lying to us? Now you're going to die. She needed a distraction to get them to go chasing after something that was not even there. That, my friends, happens to us a lot. You know, Rahab did this for selfish reasons. But her ways and reasons are not God's ways and reasons. Because her kindness to hide the spies and save their lives, she would in return be saved as well. She could have easily just said, yes, the men are here. In fact, they're on the roof. Go get them, please. I don't want them here. I don't want to lose my life. She could have turned the story in many different ways. And you know what? She could have saved her life temporarily, just to lose it a few days later when the invasion happened. In church, the salvation is not temporary. Salvation is eternal. And I'm preaching to the choir, I know. It's not something that we can use as a Band-Aid, right? Like, oh, I got a cut. I'm bleeding. I need a Band-Aid. I put the Band-Aid on a couple days later, pull the Band-Aid off. Boop, I'm good. I don't need this Band-Aid anymore. Throw it in the garbage. Just to 2 days later, cut ourselves again and need a Band-Aid again because, oh, I'm bleeding again. I need a Band-Aid. That is the worldly mentality. And in fact, that is believer's mentality of how God works. God, I only need you when I'm hurting. God, I only need you when I need something. And when I'm done with that, whoosh, see you later, God. I'll come back to you later when I need you again. That is not God. That is not salvation. When we become children of God, something changes completely. It changes our identity. It changes who we are. We are not the one that we once were before, right? We are completely different. We are a new creature. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, I missed a verse, but it says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." When we've been made free, when we've become new creatures in Christ, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean that when I live in this fairy land, right, where it's just lollipops and rainbows and it's just great, and I get to eat donuts all the time. No. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't get tangled up with the crap that was in your old life. Don't go running back to the vomit like dogs do, okay? Because it's a trap. And that's called, oh, I didn't repent. I didn't leave that stuff in the dust. I left it there so I could go back to it because I know it, man, it kind of makes me feel good. Nothing changed. We're still the same person that we once were. We need God to change our identity. We need God to change everything about us, right? We need to, God, remove everything from my life that brings me back to that pile of manure. Remove the people, remove the circumstances, remove the temptations. God, change everything about me. My whole identity needs to be different. I don't want to be a prostitute anymore. I don't want to be Rahab anymore. I want to be known for my faith, not for my actions. The problem today is that people want both. They want both. I want eternal life because I don't want to go to hell, right? Nobody should say, man, I can't wait to get to hell. Unfortunately, some people say that and it's waiting. But everybody, you know, if you're mentally sound, you're going to say, yes, I want to spend eternity in heaven. Yes, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. But I also kind of like what I do on Saturday nights. I kind of like fulfilling the lust of my flesh because it makes me feel good. I don't really want you to change my identity, God. Just change my clothes. The harlot is not known in the book of Hebrews as a harlot, but as a woman of faith. You are not known for who you were before Jesus saved you, but for who you are today. Guys, that's what we must remember. Some of us, our past are far more colorful than the rest, okay? But it's the past. It's the past. You've been delivered from that. You are not that person anymore. You are not wrapped up in that anymore. You're not known for that anymore. You know what? Some of us here today have people that only know our past. They have never experienced our present. They've never seen us walk with God. Why? Well, they just aren't around. Well, that could be an example. But you know what? God will bring them around. The Plums aren't here today, but Dwayne, I went to school with Dwayne, right? Graduated with Dwayne, did extracurricular activities with Dwayne, those things that, you know, are in my past. And here comes Dwayne wandering into New Life Baptist Church. Dwayne only knew me as that person. He had never seen me walk with God. He had never seen my new identity. He didn't even know who I was. Guys, we need to be out telling people what God has done in our lives. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "As you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Let those around you see your true walk." Okay, and if your true walk's got a limp, go to the source, go to the doctor, and say, "God, I need you. I need you. I don't want a temporary fix. I don't want something that just helps me not have quite such a limp this week. But I want you to completely remove my leg and give me a new leg so I can walk as you ought to have me walk." That's extreme, I know. But we should be extreme. We should. We should desire to let others see us walk with God. Have you actually been changed? Or do you deal with the same demons and the same distractions that you had before? If nothing has changed in our life, then nothing has changed. Right? It's time to start living by faith. It's time to not allow our past to dictate our future. It's time to allow God to have full reign and use us no matter what state we find ourselves in today, but say, "God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being this whatever you are, whatever I am. And man, I want to start using my days because I know that they're numbered and I know that they're getting shorter and I know that time is running out and I'm tired of wasting my time. I'm tired of being a harlot. I'm tired of being the laughing stock of the city of Jericho." It's time to surrender, to throw the flag. You know, God is not willing that any shall perish. God doesn't desire for us to die and go to hell. That's why he made a way. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, right? You guys have a choice, he says. Now you have a choice. If you desire to die and go to hell, that is your decision. But here's the way, right? It's narrow, right? It's narrow. But here's the way. And surrender your life, believe by faith that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and was buried and rose again the third day. And according to what the scripture says, believe that by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, right? It's nothing to do with your works. You believe that? I'll change everything about you. And it might take some time, right? There's going to be some time. But how much are we allowing God to change us, right? How much do we keep running back instead of running forward? Our days are numbered, and I pray that we realize this and accept that gift that God is offering us today. Who are we submitted to? Are we submitted to the devil or to the Lord? And you guys know one of my, I have so many favorite verses that you guys think he's a liar because all of the verses are favorite. But one that God always takes me back to, and I talk about it all the time, is James chapter 4, verse 7, right? Because it talks about submission. It talks about submitting ourselves, therefore, not to the punk, right? But to God. When we submit ourselves, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, resist the punk, he runs like a fool with his tail between his legs, right? Says he'll flee for a season. We're born into the devil's family. If you don't expect him to fight in your life when he feels as though God stole you away from him, you're crazy. He's mad. Steal one of my kids. You're going to pay the price, right? That's what the devil's thinking right now. We can't help that we're born into the devil's family. You can go back and thank Adam for that. You can deal with that when you get to heaven, okay? But when we accept the gift of salvation and submit ourselves to God, then the devil realizes he's been beat. Right? Not in Georgia, but everywhere. Sorry, Charlie Daniels, right? He flees, just like these men that are looking for the spies. Rahab had this story and said, "You better run. You better go catch them." And they're like, "Yes, we better." And they're still looking because where'd they go? They fled the city chasing something that they had never, that was never there to chase. Their emotions and their ambition, it got the best of them. Has that ever happened to anyone? I'd be lying if I didn't say it happened to me often. Our emotions and our ambitions can overrule us so quickly. These men that were sent by the king of Jericho to go look for these spies, I guarantee you they had been trained to flip a house, right? They knew how to go in and serve a search warrant. They knew that they needed to look in every nook and every cranny to make sure that those spies were not there. But their emotions and their ambitions got the best of them. And the story from the harlot was so believable to them that they're like, "She's right. We got to go." And they didn't do what they were supposed to do. So they went running out of the city. They would never find the spies because they were tucked away in protection in the strangest of places. You know what I call this strange place? I call it a fruit market. Call it a fruit market. I never looked at it like a fruit market before until this week. God had directed their steps right into the fruit market. The fruit was ripe. It was ready for harvest. Just like I shared that we were in John chapter 15 this week, breaking it apart, Rahab finds herself not attached to the true vine. And she's likened unto those in John chapter 15, verse 6. I'm going to read that to you. It says, "If any man not abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and it withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is the state that she found herself in. This is what was going to happen to her. She was not abiding in Christ. She was not abiding in God Himself and the Lord. She was though one of those branches that falls in your yard that you gather up and have a bonfire with. She was one of those souls that was lost and dying and going to hell to burn for all of eternity. She was on her way to a fiery end. But then, she was grafted in. God placed her on the vine. She became a branch. What about you? Are you part of that today? Or are you dying and withering away? Is the fruit that's on your vine bad? Dying, rotten, stinky. On your way to the bonfire in the lake of fire. We must abide in Christ. That word abide means to stay, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, or tarry long. We want to be a fruitful Christian? Then abide in Him. I don't have any fruit in my life. I don't know why that I just don't have any fruit. Where are you abiding? There's fruit everywhere. But if we're not abiding in Him, then we'll never be a part of the fruit or the gathering of the fruit. You know, fruit comes in all different shapes and sizes. And oftentimes we want to go out with a fruit basket, right? If I was to go to an orchard, I would expect to come back with some fruit, right? Because I like fruit. But spiritually speaking, fruit comes in all shapes and sizes. And we may go out, and when we come back, it may look as though there's no fruit in our basket. But does that mean that we didn't go out and do what we were supposed to do? Maybe we were the ones to be planting some fruit, right? Planting some seeds. We prayed for a man this week that I knew I was going to work with the very next day on Thursday. And I've shared the gospel with this man before. But I thought, I got to listen to God's word. And I've got to share the truth with this guy again. And I did. And he didn't receive Jesus. I think he thinks he's saved, but he doesn't know. And it's really weird. And then, so he was my cut man. And I was up on some scaffolding. He's cutting. And there's a maple tree hanging right in front of my face. And I look down and I see this man's name's Lewis, or Luis, however you want to say it. And there's the branch hanging down. And hopefully this branch survives. Well, this one didn't, because I broke it off, because I needed it for a picture. But on this branch were all of these blooms coming out of it. All of this fresh fruit, right? You're not going to eat a maple leaf. That's just gross. But it was the fruit of this tree, right? And it was beginning to bloom out. And as I looked through this branch and looked down at this fruit that's on the ground, cutting my hearty siding, I was like, holy crap, God, you're amazing. You're amazing. Because here you give me a physical picture, spiritual picture, all wrapped up in one. How can you not be obedient when God is all up in your grill like that? I was like, man, I would be a fool to not speak truth right now. I would be a fool to not share the gospel with this man right now. And, you know, my flesh is like, you've already shared the gospel with him. And, you know, he said, yeah. But God reminds me all the time of how many times I said, yeah. I'm good. There's none good, Brad. There's none good. Keep sharing the truth. Abide in me. Abide in me, because you cannot bear fruit of yourself. You must abide in the vine. We're almost done. Guys, we just need to love God and love people. You know, we love God, why? Because He first loved us. Right? We can't love God if He doesn't love us. We love Him because He first loved us. Then we begin to realize how we are to love others, like Christ loves, right? Oh, the love of God. Oh, I need to share that love of God. I need to love other people like God loves them. Be willing to go to the uttermost to those people that are unreachable, right? We have those people in Clinton, Missouri, y'all. You don't need to go to the slums of Mumbai. There's unreached people in Clinton. In the uttermost. In the projects. Yeah, we have projects in Clinton. You want to know where? Let's go. I'll show you. There's those that we're afraid of, right? This town has a fear instilled in it because of what happened a few years ago, right? On this very day, in fact, March 6th, we lost one of our officers. But we had that fear instilled into us that there's bad people with bad things that want to do bad things to us. They're everywhere. Y'all, they're everywhere. What about those that others are ashamed of? The spies went to a whorehouse, for crying out loud. And the one they found there was ripe and ready. Rahab knew what was coming. She knew what the spies were up to. She knew the land was going to be given over by God. And she had heard all that God had already done. So we must get after it, church, because we know the story, right? We know exactly what's going to happen. We have everything right here. Nothing should come to a surprise to us, right? Rumors of wars, hello, right? Earthquakes and all of this stuff that's going on, the end is drawing near, church. It's coming. Our time is running short. We know that, but yet we still become lackadaisical and just okay with just sitting on our rumps. And God says, no, you need to go. You must go. Not a coincidence that God has given us the theme to go this year, because, man, we don't know how long this year is. Is it 365 days? I don't know. Why are we not bringing people to church with us? Right? Why? Why are we not talking to people about the word with those that are around us? Why are we ashamed? Those are questions that we must answer. We must. Now, I don't want you kidnapping people and putting them in your trunk and bringing them to church. I'm not saying that. But we should be bringing people to church. We should be bringing people to the truth. The days are flying by, and one of these days they're going to stop. And we need to go and bring and let God build, right? We need to be lights in darkness, because that's what we are, because of the one that lives in us, right? Because of the one that lives in us. So church, today, let's not focus on the negative all the time. Let's focus on what God can do, what God can bring out of the darkest of things, what God can do through the vilest of offenders, okay? I've met murderers, I've met rapists, I've met all these people in prison before. And does God look at them differently? Does God say, sorry, no salvation for you, you did something too bad? No. And that's a hard pill to swallow for some. That's a hard thing for people to understand, is that, you know what? God had sent his only begotten son into this world that all may be saved. Not some, not the do-gooders, not the goody-two-shoes. If that was the case, I wouldn't be here today. But God so loved the world, the whole entire world, even Rahab. You think God didn't bring these spies to Rahab's house? You think God didn't direct the spies' steps to her place? I truly and completely believe that it was of God that this happened. God directed them exactly where he wanted them in the time that he wanted them. And people were saved because of that. Because these spies were sent to go to where God wanted them to go. And when they came back, they had a story. They had a story. What's your story today? Where have you been? Has it been where God wanted you to go? Or is it where you want to go? That's how the outcome of your story will come about. If you were went or if you were sent. I want to be like these spies, right? Secretly, I kind of want to be a spy. But we really are. We go out into this foreign land every single day, but we shouldn't be undercover. We should be like bad spies. Like, hey, I'm a spy. Look at me. I have something I need to tell you about. Right? I want to be a Jesus spy. Here's one thing I want to end with. Not all Christians are equipped to be able to go into Rahab's house. Okay? Not all Christians are equipped to be able to be put into a situation that won't cause a stumbling block to come into their life. Okay? There was a time in my life that if I would have been like, I'm going to go evangelize in the bar, which sounds ridiculous, but I'm not saying that's not impossible, that I would have been evangelizing while sipping on some brewskis, right? What kind of testimony is that? We have to know our limits. And we got to grow up, okay? We got to grow up. We have to learn, right? We need God's wisdom. We need God's understanding. We need to be equipped before we can go into certain situations. So don't go run into Rahab's house today if you're not equipped to go to Rahab's house. If it's going to be a stumbling block to you, right? Remember what that harlot word means, right? And we always point that to men, but maybe women have the same problem. Remember what that means, because it's a trap from the devil. But God can deliver you from that. He can and he will if you trust him. Let God lead our steps today, okay? Let God lead our steps. Trust him with everything. Don't limit him. Don't get in the way of him, but allow him to direct each one of our steps to go where he wants us to go, and just be obedient today. And watch what he does in our lives. That's what's amazing. Watch the stories that you'll have to tell of, let me tell you about my Jesus and what he did through my life. Those are the stories that I love, right? We could talk about work and weather all day long. It's boring. What did Jesus do in your life today? And I'll listen to you all day long. Let's pray.